we thank you for church life. Lord, we thank you that as we come into this building, we give ourselves time just to pause and to think and to allow you to speak into our hearts and minds perhaps a little more freely than that we do when we're busy. So Lord, we take this opportunity to allow you to guide us and to lead us and to inspire us and to teach us. And as we open your word this morning, Lord, might your word impact our hearts and minds in the way that you want it to. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to be back. I had a week off. Can this go down just a fraction? Thanks, Neil. It is good to be back. Kath and I had a lovely break at Inverloch. Inverloch is a nice coastal town with a beautiful little estuary that is very safe for my little boat. And we made the most of that. We took the tinny out to make sure that everything was working for the Mediterranean cruise. We caught a few fish, not a lot, but we did catch some. Kath had managed to have two meals of fish and I had sausages. And we were both pretty happy about that. I like catching them, don't like eating them. Big thanks to Mark too for bringing the message for our church last week, and I'm sure that everyone was blessed by that. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I started a series titled What God Can Do Through Ordinary You. As we start the year, as we sort of start to get into the swing of things, as we look forward and start to get a bit of momentum into the rest of the year, the series is designed to remind us and to challenge us about our involvement in the life of the church, about our involvement in the life of God, the things that he wants to do and the things that he wants to do through us, through ordinary you and me. Now, the message that I had 2 weeks ago was titled, Who, Me? Because most of us sit here thinking that. Over the years, that's just been my experience. Most of us sit here thinking, Who, me? What can I do? What can I do for God? What can I do in the life of the church? Who, me? You're kidding. Well, I want to suggest that every single one of us has a whole lot more to offer the kingdom of God than we think we do. Some of us are heavily involved in the life of the church. Well, I want to inspire you and challenge you that maybe there's a little bit more. Maybe there's a little slight direction change. Maybe there's something that God wants of you and you've been comfortable in this particular area for a long time now. Maybe God wants to change that. Maybe he wants to say, hey, there's something else that I want of you. Maybe some of us are sitting here and we've sort of, we come along on Sundays, but, you know, that's probably the extent of our involvement. Well, I would suggest that God is saying to you, there is a little bit more that I want of you. A little bit more out there in the rest of the world, a little bit more in the life of our church. So that's what the series is all about. We're thinking about Hebrews chapter 11, God's Hall of Fame. There's a whole heap of people listed there, people who of faith who did amazing things. And we're focusing on some of those people. So today's Hall of Famer is Noah. We're going to have a bit of a think about Noah. And you'll find in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, just a little bit, but we're not focusing on this particular verse. We're going to broaden that out to the story in Genesis. So let's have a listen to Hebrews 11, verse 7. It's not on the screen, so you'll need to listen. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. So today we're thinking, as we have a little bit of a look at Noah's life, we're thinking about the type of person that God uses. And the sermon title today, it's not Who, me? It's pick me. Pick me. Remember that at school? Teacher asks you, oh, I've got the answer to that. Or you're in the schoolyard and they're picking the teams for the cricket or the footy or whatever's going on. Yeah, pick me, pick me. That's the attitude that God's looking for. So what type of person? Type of person that God uses. God uses people who are available to him. Genesis 6, verses 5 and 6, and then verse 8, this is about Noah. Now the Lord observed the extent of the people's wickedness, and he saw that all their thoughts were consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry that he ever made them. It broke his heart. But Noah found favour with the Lord. Let me tell you a true story about Tony Campolo. Most people would know Tony Campolo was one of the outstanding high-profile Christian preachers and authors. He's also a professor of sociology. And he was invited to speak at the University of California. And just before Tony was due to speak, a few of his friends, they sort of came along together and they took him aside, just took him to a quiet room, side room. And they wanted to pray for him that God would use what he had to say to the universe, the students and the lecturers and whoever else was going to be there. So during the time of prayer, one of the people praying, he prays this. Heavenly Father, about Bert Harris. Bert Harris needs you badly because he lives in a caravan down the street and is considering leaving his wife and family. Lord, if you could just get through to Bert somehow, that would be great. This is a really unusual prayer. We pray here in the morning. We pray for the service. We pray for the preacher, whoever that might be, in any given day. We pray for the worship leader. We pray for the music. We just pray that their worship times would be inspiring and connecting with God. And that's the focus. We focus in on that. So here's these Christian friends of Tony Campolo. They take him aside to pray for him for what he's about to present to the university. And this bloke prays about Bert Harris. Very unusual prayer. The group is supposed to be praying for Tony Campolo and his speech. Well, Tony gives his speech and he gets to the students, he jumps in his car and he starts driving home. And on the way home, Tony stops and he picks up a hitchhiker. And the hitchhiker gets in the car and Tony asks him what his name is. And the hitchhiker says, "My name's Bert Harris." Well, Tony Campolo swings the car around and starts heading in the opposite direction, which really concerned Bert Harris. He thought he jumped in the car with a serial killer or something like that. He was very concerned. And he said, "What are you doing?" And Tony says, "Well, I'm taking you back to home to your wife and kids because you want to leave them." And Bert's speechless. Bert Harris is speechless. And he really started shaking when Tony pulls up outside the caravan where he lived. And Bert says, "How did you know that I was leaving my wife and family, and how did you know where I lived?" Well, Bert Harris was even more concerned when Tony says to him, "God told me." Tony took the man inside and talked with him and his wife, and over time the story has a wonderful ending. They reconcile, stay together, they move on in life. Anybody sitting here thinking, how come that never happens to me? We hear these things from time to time, don't we? We hear some amazing things from people. This is what God did in my life. You know, I was here, I was there, and I said something, and you know, all these amazing things happen. How come that never happens in our lives? How come things like that don't happen? Well, I want to ask you this morning, how available are you for God to use you like that? One of the things that God is looking for, if he's going to use ordinary old me, is our availability. God's not looking for superstars. Tony Campolo is a superstar. But he didn't pick Tony Campolo because he was a superstar. He picked Tony Campolo because he was available. God's not looking for superstars who leap tall buildings with a single bound. None of us here fit that category. All God wants is people who are willing to say yes. God has laid something on my heart. In some way, I've heard it, I've felt it, that you know, God is at work. He just wants us to say yes. That's all he wants. And every single one of us needs to be able to say that. It's your availability that matters, not your ability. And a lot of people don't get involved in ministry in the church because they don't think they have the ability. We sit back and we say, "Hey, we need some helpers in a particular area." "Oh, well, that's not me. I couldn't do that. Oh, I couldn't do that, and I couldn't do that, and I couldn't do that." Well, what can you do? What can you do? You see, sometimes we just have to get involved in something and we find out that we can do it. Noah was not a boat builder. My son is a boat builder. Noah has no clue about what my son does. Noah had no clue about what God wanted him to do. He wasn't a boat builder, but Noah learnt to build a boat. He learned along the way, and maybe that's why it took him 120 years to finish it. Why don't these things happen to me? Why don't we have a story where God just nudged us a little bit and we said yes, and wow, there was an amazing ending to it. Have you ever had the thought? Have you ever had the thought? I need to talk to so-and-so about faith. You ever had that thought? Have you done it yet? It's our availability that God is looking for. It's this desire in our heart that when we hear the whisper of God, we say, pick me. I'm available. I'll have a crack at it. I really got no idea about any of this, but I'll do my best. As you read Hebrews chapter 11, as you read through that list, and I suggest that maybe that'd be a good place to start as we work through this series, just to read again Hebrews chapter 11. All of those people, they had an attitude of availability. God came knocking and they said yes. Why did Noah find favour with God? Well, it wasn't his theological qualifications. It wasn't because he was the leader of the local church. It wasn't because he had all the spiritual gifts. It was because he had an attitude of availability to God. The second thing that God uses in people is that people who dare to be different. God uses people who dare to be different. Genesis 6 verse 9. This is the history of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless man living on earth at the time. He consistently followed God's will and enjoyed a close relationship with him. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if you've noticed that there seems to be a conflict between God's values and the world's values. Anybody else notice that? Yeah. And we're noticing it more and more and more. At least I am. And we're just wandering so far away from God's values in this world. And Christians, listen to this, Christians are supposed to be different. Christians are supposed to be different to the rest of the world. I'm not talking about weird different. I'm talking about just different. We're not the same as people who don't know God. 1 Peter 1:16 says, "For it is written, be holy because I am holy." Holiness means perfection, or it means set apart. So when we're called to be holy, think about it this way. God calls you and I, as Christians, people who have given our lives to Jesus, he's called us to be set apart. That means to be different. We're set apart from the rest of the world. We're not supposed to live the same as the rest of the world does. We're not supposed to talk the same as the rest of the world does. We're not supposed to drink the same as the rest of the world does. We're not supposed to shoot up the same as the rest of the world does. We're not supposed to hate the same as the rest of the world does. We're not supposed to live a selfish, self-centered life the way that the rest of the world does. Think about the Tony Campolo story. What happens in all Tony Campolo's pride and his selfishness, this amazing reputation that he has, and he's invited to come and be the guest speaker at a university. What if in that prayer he stops the bloke from praying and says, "Hey, you're supposed to be praying for me." He doesn't hear anything about Bert Harris, does he? What if Tony has no compassion for a bloke walking down the road? He doesn't pick him up. And I'm not recommending that we pick up all the hitchhikers on the road, by the way, but just... What happens if Tony realises who this bloke is? And in his self-righteousness, he abuses him for thinking about abandoning his family. See, Tony Campolo's story, it doesn't start with an invitation to the Californian University. It started when he gave his life to Jesus. And it continued to grow as he grew in his faith and his maturity. And he learnt the things of the Word of God that he's supposed to put into his life. And he learnt the things from the Word of God that he's supposed to put out of his life. What if Noah was exactly the same as the rest of the world that he lived in, the rest of the people that he lived in? What if his behaviour and his attitudes and his values and his morals are evil, the Bible says, just plain evil? What if he was the same? What if he said, oh, well, this is too hard, I'm the only one? And he just gave in to the whole thing. Well, no boat. And humanity doesn't exist. That's sobering, isn't it? See, God uses people who are available to him. God uses people who dare to be different. And thirdly, God uses people who follow him. Genesis 6:22, so Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him. Exactly as God had commanded. Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, Jesus said, come follow me. If you know the story, he's walking along the beach and he sees James and John and Andrew and Simon. They're in their boats. They're doing the thing that they were born to do. Their fathers were fishermen. Their grandfathers were fishermen. Their great-grandfathers were fishermen. In that culture, you were born into a fisherman family, and that's what you did. That's what the boys did. And he says, Jesus says, come follow me. They left everything. Think about that. Just think about that decision. They made a monumental decision. They left their careers. They left everything they were born to do. They left everything that they knew to follow Jesus. And then in Matthew 16:24, Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And Jesus is saying that this Christian life, this faith in Jesus, it's not a game. It's not a game. It's a commitment. Faith is following Jesus even when it doesn't make sense. Faith is following Jesus when it gets uncomfortable. Faith is following Jesus when it's not popular. And we are at a point in our lives, in our society, in our culture, where Christian faith, I think it's not popular already. And as the years go on, it's going to become less and less and less popular. God uses people who are available to him. He uses people who dare to be different. And he uses people who are committed to him because he knows that he can trust them with his work and they won't let him down. And then finally, God uses people who never give up. Genesis 6 verse 3, it says, man's days will be 120 years. Now, there is some debate about what this means. There's one school of thought that says, well, that's... Noah was, how old was he? He was hundreds of years old. 900 years old, thank you. So there's some experts who will say, well, it's declining. God is now saying you're going to live no more than 120 years. There's another school of thought that says that God is saying that in 120 years' time, this is the end. My judgment is coming. That's what I've taken here this morning. And if that's the case, building the ark took Noah 120 years. God says in 120 years' time, this is the end. You've got 120 years to get this done. In 120 years, he built the boat. He never gave up. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? 120 years. And we live in a world where everything has to be instant. Instant everything. 120 years seems like a death sentence or something. See, Noah never gave up. He never gave up despite the ridicule from his community. He never gave up from the tourists who come past to look at the big thing. You know, they'd seen the big banana and they'd seen the big koala and they'd seen the big, who knows, the big pineapple. Here's this big thing. What is it? He never gave up despite having no clue about what he was doing. And he never gave up despite having no clue about what was going to happen. See, it's highly unlikely, if you read the Hebrews passage, it's highly unlikely that rain had ever happened at that point in time. So he's got to build this thing because it's going to rain. What's rain for Noah? No idea. Nothing had ever flooded because there'd been no rain. A boat this size had never been built, and probably no boats had ever been built. Nothing, not even little ones. Why build a boat when we haven't got flowing rivers and things happening? See, this is an extraordinary thing that God has asked of Noah. But he never gave up. I've got a question for you. What would you do if God said to you, I want you to do something that's never been done before? And I want you to do something that's never been done before because something is about to happen that has never happened before. And it's going to take you nearly all of your life to complete it. What are you going to say? What would you do if God said to you, I want you to do something that's never been done before, because something's about to happen that's never happened before, and it's going to take you most of your life to complete? Is your answer, pick me, pick me, pick me? Or is it, who? Me. See, your answer to that question might be the answer to why Tony Campolo stories don't happen to you. We want them to happen. We want to be involved in God's miraculous stuff. We want exciting things to happen as part of our faith. But are we available? Do we dare to be different? Are we committed to following God? And are we prepared to never give up? What God can do through ordinary you. I think it's a challenge for our year. I think it's a challenge for our lives. It's a challenge for our faith. It's a challenge to step into all that God has for us. Not just the comfortable. Not just the stuff that we know about. Not just the stuff that we're used to. But to step into stuff just because God says so. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we continue to think through the lives of these Hall of Famers, these amazing people who did amazing things, Lord, we continue to remind ourselves that they were just ordinary people. Noah was just an ordinary bloke going about life with a heart for you. And Lord, I just stand before you on behalf of us all, to acknowledge the challenge of responding to what you want of us. Because sometimes we just don't want to stand out. We don't want to be different. Sometimes we just don't want to be in it for the long haul. Sometimes we just don't want to make ourselves available because we're busy with other things. Lord, I just pray that as we begin a new year, as we start to move into this 2024, that we've got no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. Lord, I pray that we might do it with the confidence that you do know what's going to happen tomorrow. And we might step into it with the faith of a person like Noah, who just wanted to please you. He was happy that you picked him. And he was happy for the task that you had for him. Lord, I pray that that might be our attitude. As we step into a closer relationship with you, as we step into a deeper faith, We understand all that that's involved. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just lead us along into the path that you want us as a church and as individuals. Lord, might Tony Campolo not be the only person that has these amazing experiences. But might that be normal for us as we commit ourselves to your way. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.